planned. For some of you, that might mean that there's stress that has come upon you. For some of you, you might be feeling quite anxious. Maybe there's uncertainty. Whatever it is, I just want to say thank you for being here with us today. But also as a community, the importance of each one of us reaching out to each other. That is not any one person's job, but pick up your phone and text message someone. Give someone a call this week. Check in and encourage each other. That's what a community does. And it's at times like these, especially going into our fourth lockdown, that's important that we continue to check in, encourage and love each other. Today, as we go through this morning, wherever you are, I hope and my hope is that as though, even though we're in another lockdown, that we'll be talking about another hope. And I want to invite you this morning to explore that with me. But first of all, let's just pray. God, we thank you that we can gather today. We're in different places around Melbourne, around Victoria, around Australia, wherever we happen to be. But we can still gather as your people. And we know that your Spirit is present. We pray that as we set aside this time, at whatever time this happens to be for each person, but as we set aside this time together, that your Spirit would speak to each one of us in a way that only your Spirit can. That regardless of the songs that we sing, regardless of whether we're at home with a family or by ourselves, regardless of whether we're looking at a small phone or a big TV screen to engage, God, that we would hear your voice, we would hear your invitation to partner with you today. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, the Word, and God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There was no beginning that existed without God because God was there in the beginning. We read about it in Genesis. In the beginning was God, and God reigned over all. And the Genesis account then goes on to say how God created all. In Genesis 1, early on, we see that the earth was formless and empty, which simply means it's unordered, uninhabitable. It's this chaos and void, this nothingness, not a like a nothingness that we can't quite comprehend. There's no order and there's no purpose. And in this space, God creates everything with an order and with a purpose. And kind of the big moment in this creation story, we read that God goes a step further, and Veronica read it before, but we'll just quickly skim over it again in verse 27 of Genesis 1. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them in his image. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Rule or reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." God created both male and female. He created them in his own image, almost like image bearers humanity became. And for some of you watching today, maybe this is a completely new concept. Maybe you haven't actually, you're not sure who this Jesus is. You're not sure who this God is. You haven't followed Jesus yet. You haven't made that commitment. You're exploring. And so just quickly, some of the key context behind this idea of image bearers or being in the image of God at the time Genesis is written. The task of acting as a physical embodiment of God, as the image bearers of God to subdue the earth and to rule, was for those elite, the elite kings. And yet here, we see God give that task to all humanity. All humanity. You see, the image of God in the Bible was given, that we are given, shows the ruling over the earth means to cultivate it, to harness its raw potential, and in helping to move creation forward. And so as images of God, or as image bearers of God, this is what we are to do. Now, I'm sure you're aware of how quickly and how easily words can be misunderstood or shifted, especially across societies, across generations, how many words have changed their meanings. And so sometimes these words that we read can be quite misleading maybe, or we might construe them in the wrong way and not in the way they're meant to be. And one of those words that I just want to quickly touch on as a premise for today is the word rule or reign. A Hebrew scholar puts it this way: to actively partner with God in taking the world somewhere. To actively partner with God in taking the world somewhere. The invitation that we are introduced at the beginning of Genesis, at the beginning of the Bible, is an invitation to be co-creators, to be co-rulers, to reign and rule with God, to subdue, to cultivate, to create civilization and culture. You get the point. To actively partner with God in taking the world somewhere. You see, God still reigns, and we were invited at that point to partner actively with God. And those of you who know much about the Bible, or a little, but it doesn't take long in Genesis to find out that things did not remain that way. The fall, as is often put, is simply humanity deciding that we're better at ruling and reigning without God. So evil, brokenness, hurt, pain for all creation enters the world. And the Bible simply refers to this as sin. And since then, we still rule and reign. And we can look throughout history. Maybe you can just yell out in wherever you are with those you're surrounded by, some people, some examples of people who or communities or individuals who have sometimes, for at least a portion of time, been able to partner with God in a positive way, in a life-giving way. But far too often throughout history, as we've ruled and reigned in this world, we see that people do not rule and reign in partnership with God. We do not partner in a life-giving way for creation, all creation. See, we take advantage of others. We oppress others. Instead of cultivating creation and cultivating culture and cultivating civilization, we destroy it. This is the nature of when we're not in partnership with God. We can do some things that are good, but often we rework it or rule and reign in a way that creates destruction. Yet as we look through the Bible and as we look through history, there is one person who lived, who ruled and reigned in true partnership with God. His name's Jesus. And we find him in the New Testament, or kind of the second half of the Bible. In the Bible, they sometimes refer to Jesus as the second Adam, or true humanity, simply to suggest that here is someone, a man, who lived as humanity was meant to live, in true partnership with God the Father. Let's read Matthew 11. If you've got your Bibles with you or your phones, feel free to quickly flick to that. But Matthew 11, 28 to 30. As we look at what it is to live in true partnership with God, it's important for us to look, okay, well, who has done that? Jesus. And what is his invitation to us? In Matthew 11, 28 to 30, then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Come to me, all." It's an invitation for every single person. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Maybe today you carry a heavy burden. And I, Jesus, not me, but Jesus, will give you rest. Take my yoke, whose yoke? Jesus' yoke, upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Jesus gives us that invitation again. An invitation to partner. An opportunity presents itself through Jesus continuing to ask us into that invitation. That to partner with Jesus, to partner with him as he demonstrated, as he teaches, as he guides us how to rule and reign with him. He asks us in 1 John to walk as he walked, to follow his example. And that if we do this, in Matthew, Jesus is saying, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. His invitation is for us to live in the same rhythms, the same routines, the same habits that he lived in and that he modeled here on earth. And that if we are to do that, we will find rest. He doesn't say you may find rest. He doesn't say you could maybe try and make up rest. He's saying you will find rest. And not rest in terms of sleeping, but rest for our souls. I don't want you to miss what is prioritized and alluded to throughout Jesus' life, but is not necessarily directly recorded or commanded by Jesus himself. I don't want to miss this because we don't always see it. Jesus commanded us to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is what we are to do. But if we're to walk as he walked, lived as he lived, then we're to model his lifestyle in today's context. You know, a life that demonstrated dependence on the Holy Spirit, that was saturated in prayer. You constantly see moments, sentences, words of Jesus withdrawing to pray. Saturated with prayer. You've had an invitation by the elders today into this space of prayer. Obedience to a kingdom agenda, a different agenda to what ours perhaps is in that moment, to what humanity's is. the reality and the power of the Word. A lifestyle of worship, of relationships with others, intentional relationships. Engaging. I mean, there's an opportunity this week within your own community and those outside of this direct community to be intentional with those around you, to check in, encourage, and make sure everyone's doing okay. And where you can, to support and just love and care for each other. But there's also this lifestyle, this rhythm, these habits that Jesus demonstrates as well in regards to our yoke being and burden being light and an easy yoke. This kind of rhythm or lifestyle of space, of not being rushed around, of taking times to slow down. And we'll explore or touch on some of these a little bit later. But I don't want you to miss that. Because when Jesus asks us to walk as he walked, to partner with God, it's not just partner, but some of it. It's an invitation to walk as he walked in entirety. And you know that through all of this, God still reigns. The invitation for us is to partner. So what does that all mean? I mean, today's context, I don't know if you've looked around. We're looking at a camera here. We're streaming it live, whether you're watching it live or not, but we're streaming it through to you. This world is very different to that of Jesus's. The context is different. So how are we to find rest? How are we to carry Jesus's yoke and burden instead of what humanity has gotten us to carry or invited us to carry in today's context? I mean, it's funny, the parable of the Good Samaritan that was shown just before. I sometimes look at that and read that passage and wonder what was going through each of their minds. And I wonder if Jesus is also highlighting in that space, hey, you know what? If you are rushing constantly through life, if you are so busy that you can't see your fellow neighbor on the ground, then you're moving too fast through this world and you're not carrying my yoke and my burden. Almost an invitation that sometimes we need to actually slow down. And I wonder if the two that went past at the start were just too rushed. They were running late for a meeting. They were going to whatever it might be, a Bible study group. I don't know. Or maybe they were going to speak on Sunday. But the invitation is to slow down and to notice those who are around us, to notice God's creation. But today, as alluded to, this isn't the burden that humanity invites us to carry. We have a bit of a problem in today's context. And I just want to quickly run you through some of these things. I mean, with each of these, there's a whole lot of good that's come from it, but it's also created a lifestyle, a burden, a culture, a yoke for us to carry. The light bulb was invented in late 1800s. And all of a sudden, where there was no light, now there can be light. And so guess what? One of the things that happens is that we sleep less. What used to be about 11 hours pre-light bulb that people would average getting to sleep, over in the last 100 years, we have averaged 2.5 hours less than what we did 100 years ago. We're now averaging, and this is the average, is 7 hours. People less, some people more. We also know that this has an effect on our work. We can now work longer hours. In fact, the Harvard Review, Business Review, said that where once leisure was a sign of wealth, now busyness is a sign of wealth. Our attention span has decreased dramatically. In fact, over the last 20 years, it's decreased by about 4 seconds. We now have an attention span of less than that of a goldfish. Oh, to be a goldfish again. 8 seconds our attention span is, on average, compared to 9 seconds of that of a goldfish. But perhaps one of the great disruptors, should I say, an impact on this change in recent years has been the digital revolution. And just quickly to run through some of those things and how quickly things are changing. I don't know, for those of you who were alive back in 2000, I'm not sure if you remember it that well, Y2K bugs around, I know it was going crazy. But you know what, that's also when the USB flash drive was invented. YouTube was invented in 2004. Facebook and Twitter came about in 2006. Sorry, YouTube in 2005. We have iPhones in 2007. WhatsApp in the year that I was married in 2009 was released. We have Instagram in 2010. We fast forward a little bit. 2015, we've got the Apple Watch released. If we continue, smart speakers are released kind of around the 2018 stage. TikTok, for those who use that. Earbuds in 2019. You see the point. It's increasing astronomically how quick things are moving. It may not seem that long ago, 2000, but when you think about technology, that's a long time ago. A recent study found that the average iPhone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day and is on their phone 2.5 hours over 76 sessions, average. And for information's sake, if you're interested, millennials, our numbers are about twice that. And we see Gen Z and Alpha generations are seemingly just following that trajectory. If we look at Australia specific, 16 to 64-year-olds spend about 5 hours and 34 minutes on the internet. They spend about 1 hour and 39 minutes on social media. They spend about 3 hours a day, this is per day, live streaming TV or movies or whatever it is, and about 42 minutes streaming music per day. Global information and knowledge has increased since the time of Jesus. It took about 1,500 years for what they'd say global information and global knowledge to double. Now the rate at which it's doubling is daily. Anxiety is on the rise in all age groups, but alarmingly so in the younger generations, which the psychologists would often suggest that anxiety is like a canary in the coal mine. It's essentially our soul, our bodies, ourselves crying out, telling us that something is wrong and that we need to fix it. And just to give you an example of time, the average guy spends approximately 10,000 hours playing video games by the age they're 21 now. Not just that, but on average we spend 705 hours on social media and 2,737 and a half hours watching TV. These are big numbers. Now, why am I highlighting this? Well, there's a couple of things. Firstly, I don't know if you realize, but it's been shown through research time and time again that you can pretty much become elite or a professional or the best in a field and the best that you can be in anything if you dedicate 10,000 hours to it. So think about the time. You could memorize whole books. You could become elite musicians, sport, writers, artists, presenters, teachers, leaders, youth workers, social justice campaigners, you could go on. See, it's not that we can't live a life like Jesus, of rest, of refreshment, constant refreshment, of constant realigning to the Father, to God the Father, but rather we prioritize other things. All of us. And then we enter into this cycle of busyness, of hurry, of rushing around, of distraction, which is away from what Jesus has called us to. Michael Zigarelli, after surveying over 20,000 Christians around the world, identified busyness as the major distraction from spiritual life. And he puts it this way. It may be the case that, one, Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to, two, God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to, three, Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to, three, a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to, four, Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to, five, more conformity to a culture of busyness, of hurry, and overload. And then the cycle begins again. This burden, this yoke that humanity carries is not that of Jesus, of busyness, of hurry. It's not that of partnering with God. It's not that which God invites us to. See, Jesus' kingdom vision of love, of joy, of peace is incompatible with busyness and hurry. It's incompatible with this burden that humanity and this yoke that humanity would suggest we carry. It's said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. See, Jesus' yoke can only be encountered and only be carried as we slow. Because it's as we slow that we can experience and express true love. When was the last time that you were busy and rushing and hurrying, maybe with your kids out the door, and you just were like, come on, let's go. Oh, and I'm going to love you. It just doesn't happen. You need to slow. It's as we slow that we can experience and give true joy. It's as we slow that we can experience and participate and bring true peace. John Mark Comer says this, "You were made to do good, to mirror and mimic what God is like to the world, to stand at the interface between the Creator and His creations, implementing God's creative, generous blessing over all the earth and giving voice to the creation's worship." In other words, you were made for partnership with God. You were made for partnership with God. So what to do? So the invitation is still there, the invitation to partner with Him, our in the beginning invitation, the one that we read about back in Genesis, in the beginning invitation to reign, to rule, to subdue is still the same today. Through the continual invitation Jesus gives, and He even lived a way that we can try and live and demonstrates a way to live in true partnership with God to reign and rule in this world. And as any invitation, it asks for a response. And we can respond in one of three ways. We could decide that although the invitation is given to us, we could decide to decline the invitation, to continue to rule and reign as we see fit. We could continue to carry the yoke and the burden that this humanity, that our society has asked us to carry. Or we could accept the invitation to follow Him, to follow Jesus. This is the first step in this invitation. It's always the first step to follow Jesus and to accept His invitation to partner And so maybe you're sitting there right now and that's the invitation and you want to take that first step. And I encourage you that as I pray at the end, you pray with us and you accept Jesus' invitation to partner with him, to follow him. But go one step further and communicate with someone else who you know, who attends this church perhaps, but you know who follows Jesus. And let them know so that they can journey with you. Perhaps you've already accepted that invitation. Well, the invitation doesn't stop. It's not like, great, you've accepted to follow me, now go and sit on the bench. The invitation is to partner and continually partner, to walk as Jesus walked, to take on his yoke, his burden, which is easy and light. In short, this means to prioritize the rhythms and routines that we see Jesus prioritizing, to rule and reign in the way that Jesus did. But just as a helpful hint for you, to help you start to explore if this is your invitation that Jesus is giving you, what it might look like to carry that burden and that yoke. I'm going to summarize it as creating margin in your life and understanding our limitations. And three practices I would invite you to is the practice of Sabbath, which is simply putting a day or a period or a time aside, whatever you can. Don't start in a way that you can't continue. But put time aside regularly and prepare for that, a time aside to stop, to rest and delight in Jesus. The second one is the practice of slowing. Try and implement things in your life that helps you to slow your mind down, to slow the pace at which you're running. Put your phone away, put it on do not disturb after a certain time and don't pick it up until a certain time. Maybe delete apps that are sending you notifications or just cancel the notifications so they don't keep on sending it to you. Park further away from the door so you have to walk further and slow down that way. Whatever it happens to be for you, but practice slowing. The third one is practice silence and solitude, which simply means listening to the Holy Spirit, which means that you need to create time and space for that to happen. So whichever response you would like, the invitation is to respond. And wherever you are right now, I want to invite you to join with me as I pray. And for you, whichever invitation you're wanting to accept or decline, I invite you to do that at this time. Let's pray. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we thank you for this invitation to partner with you that was there in the beginning and continues to this day, our in beginning invitation. And God, I just pray for those who are wanting to just follow you, to take that first step of the invitation, that they understand that it's because of your love for them, that even though we're broken, even though we decide to rule and reign ourselves, that you, Jesus, came, died on the cross to continue that invitation to rule and reign and live with you. And so, Jesus, I pray for those who are deciding to accept that invitation, that they would not only accept that invitation from you, but that they would share that with those around them and especially with those who they know who already follow you, so that together we can partner with you. As a community, we can partner with you. And God, for each one of us who is already following you, those who are watching who perhaps are following you already, I pray that we would continue to accept your invitation every day in partnership with you, that we would take on your yoke, your burden, not ours, not humanity's, but yours, and that would slow down, that would live a life that notices your creation, that is able to slow down enough to rule and reign in a life-giving way, in a creative way that helps all creation continue to progress, continue to look more like your kingdom. So God, may you help us in this time and in this week and month to implement those things that your Spirit has laid on our hearts in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.